Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. All right, this is episode 129. I hope the audio levels are a bit more clean now, just as loud, in stereo, but this time without the peaks that we had last episode. So we are going to keep this week a bit shorter, hopefully, because I have an amazing interview with Brother Juan Sepulveda, and it's about an hour long. So I need to conserve some storage space on Liberated Syndication before I can release it. I'm hoping to release it as one episode rather than splitting it up into two, but we'll see. So right away, to get it out of the way, I want to say if you want to help out the show, visit our site at www.wcypodcast.com and click on the Support the Show tab at the top. Within this link, there are a ton of great ways to support the show. If you don't know, this show is partially listener-funded, and whatever I can't raise comes out of my pocket. But the support definitely helps out a ton. So how can you help out? Well, we have a few partnerships out there. Our newest and my favorite is with FreemasonryArt.com. Just click through the link or simply go to www.freemasonryart.com and buy anything you like. And if you use the promo code WCY, it will give you 10% off your order, and freemasonryart.com sends us a little piece of the sale to help keep the lights on, as we say. Freemasonryart.com is your best spot to get fine crafted aprons and fine art prints, all related to our ancient and honorable craft. Another partnership that we have is through onnit.com. So if you want to keep up on your New Year's resolutions to be a better person through healthy living and the like, you have to check them out. Everything is all natural, no dyes, no GMO, nothing. Everything is amazing. And even I use some of the products, like Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is kind of like their flagship product and is basically my favorite. Well, close second is probably Hemp Force Protein, but anyway, Alpha Brain really keeps me ahead of the game. Which I need at times. Heck, sometimes I get the Alpha Brain and then I wash it down with espressos. And speaking of coffee, Onnit also has great coffee too, which is called Bulletproof Coffee. It's pretty darn awesome stuff. If you click through our links and you use the promo code WCY at the checkout, that is also 10% off. And again, a little bit comes back to the show to help out with hosting costs. If you want, you can check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio and use the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces, and those guys send us a dollar, and it costs you nothing. We also have three cool apps for Android, Apple, and Windows 8 mobile devices. All three of them give you access to the show streaming anywhere, but as a paid user, a one-time buy of $2 for the app, it will give you access to the bonus content, which consists of the papers that we read each week via PDF, and you also get a Masonic wallpaper each week. So check those out. Also, there are several other ways as well. One of the most popular is by sending a straight donation via PayPal. This is by far the most popular aside from the app, and I have to mention that this is how I was able to upgrade the mixer that we are using and also plan some great roundtable discussions that we have coming in the near future. So thank you to everybody for the generosity. Specifically, I have to give a shout out to Brother Joseph James for his donation recently. It helped out incredibly. And on that note, you know what I'm going to say, right? The date for the official release of the movie, The Freemason, will be the 21st of February. So, if you have a chance, go see it. It's going to be fantastic. I have seen it about 4 times now, and I really enjoyed it. And guess what? So did my wife. So, I think it's safe to say it could be a Valentine's date if you wanted. If you haven't yet checked out the trailer, you should definitely go to YouTube and check out the trailer for The Freemason. It stars Sean Astin, Alex McKenna, Richard Dutcher, and Randy Wayne, and of course, Joseph James. You can find out more about what's going on with those guys on Joseph James News on Twitter and also at The Freemason Movie for additional updates. The advanced screenings for those are still going on, so you want to check out the website, thefreemasonmovie.com, and also you can check out Joseph James Films, their website, and there should be listings for advanced screenings which are happening, and you can buy those tickets right at the box office. So, going into entertainment, if you missed last week's episode, we premiered a segment about an old radio drama. The show was called Quiet Please, and the episode was called Whence Came You? Quite a coincidence. The drama is laden with Masonic references, and the idea is to play a small piece of the episode each week until we finish it. There is a discussion board up on WCYpodcast.com. Additionally, if you'd like to go there after listening and put your thoughts up about anything that you may have seen or heard in the episode. For the first part, that we played last week on episode 128, not a whole lot of people have engaged that forum yet. I hope you guys do. If you don't, it's not a big deal to me. I just hope you enjoy it. So, without any further delay, I present to you Quiet Please, Whence Came You, Part 2.
Red lips that smiled at me slowly. I felt my knees tremble as she looked into my eyes.
Come on, let's go ask her. She's got a friend.
And when I looked back at her, where'd she go? It was midnight, and then 1 o'clock, and 2, and then 3. We still walked the streets of Cairo. The waning moon was rising in the northeast behind our shoulders as we turned our steps back to the hotel. Twice, I thought I'd seen her, and twice she, if she it was, disappeared into a narrow winding street where we couldn't follow. No, I never followed women about the streets of a foreign city before, not in all my life. Well, there's little enough of that in the life of an archaeologist. The women we followed died 1,000, 10,000 years before we were born. We know them only by the portraits painted on the walls of a musty tomb, by what we find in great hermetically sealed stone caskets, wrapped in rust-colored linen and smelling of the ghost of cinnamon and myrrh and spikenard. I don't know why I did this.
I know. She wanted you to come after her.
Well, that's ridiculous, Abe.
I heard her ask for you.
Well, what would she want of me?
What does a pretty gal usually want of a guy? Drinks, something to eat, a good time?
She could have had that from anybody.
Yeah, me, for instance. But she wanted you, Austin.
Well, why?
Maybe she's a spy or something.
A spy?
Maybe she wanted to sell you something. You know, you grave robbers. Maybe she knows where some old pharaoh or somebody has planted.
Yeah, that could be, I suppose. Well, I'm for bed. I got to get out to the diggings early.
Fine night we had.
Yeah, forget it. You got a room, huh?
Yeah, right down the hall. Well, knock on my door when you get up.
All right. Good night.
Night. Say, they have this incense all the time around this place, huh?
What do you mean?
Don't you smell it? Smells like a funeral.
I don't. Oh. Yeah, I suppose. Night.
Night, Austin.
I could have told him what the incense was. I've smelled cinnamon and myrrh and spikenard too often not to recognize it instantly. When I opened the door to my room, the smell was almost overpowering, used as I am to the funeral spices of ancient Egyptian tombs. No. No, I'm not going to tell you that a beautiful Egyptian princess of the days of Hyksos was waiting for me in the darkness. This isn't a ghost story. It's a true story. There wasn't anyone in the room. I turned on the lights, opened the window. There wasn't anyone in the room. So I went to bed, dreamed about sailing on Lake Michigan. The storm came up and the thunder crashed. And I was scared to death. Then I woke up and the thunder was the servant knocking on my door, bringing in my morning cup of tea. Abe and I got in my jeep and rode out to the excavation. It's quite a distance from Cairo. So never mind just where it is, because that's my business. And the university's. That right rear tire went flat, just as I've been expecting. I forgot to put air in a spare, so we took quite a while getting it pumped up. It was late in the afternoon when we got there. Abe had never seen anything of this sort. You see, Abe, these places are built one on top of another. Almost every village and town in the east is.
Different periods of time, huh?
Yeah, that's right. There may be any number of cities built above the ruins of another. All we do is dig out the top one, you see, recover everything we can that's of historical importance, then go on carefully down to the next.
What do you do with the stuff that's on top?
It has to be destroyed, naturally.
Well, gee, that's too bad, ain't it?
Well, we make careful records, photographs.
And then you just peel off the stuff and go on to the next.
That's right. This is the fourth city from the top we're working on now. See those big, that big pile of rubble over there?
Yeah.
That's the remains of the other three cities.
Gee, that seems a shame. All those years of work and living and everything.
Well, we save artifacts, of course.
Save what?
Things that people made. Pop shards, fragments of wall painting, decorations, that sort of thing.
What do you do with the people you find?
People?
Yeah.
Oh, mummies. Various things. We read the inscriptions. Decide whether the fellow is important enough to investigate further. The Egyptian government has a great deal to say about the contents of tombs, you know.
Find any gold?
Not here so far, but we probably will. This part where we're standing was the necropolis of this particular city.
Huh?
The cemetery, you see.
Oh, yeah.
It's reasonable to suppose that there are other tombs under here.
That's where you find the jewels and the golden stuff?
Generally, yes.
Say, Austin, why don't you get a steam shovel in here? You'd move this stuff a lot quicker.
And probably smash some priceless inscriptions or paintings into bits. No, my boy, we do this gently.
Uh-huh. And you can read this stuff, huh? The hieroglyphics?
Hieroglyphics comes from two Greek words originally meaning carving by priests.
Okay, Professor. Can you read it?
Yeah, of course. I can read a good deal of the later writings by sight. When we get down to the real ancient stuff, that's a little more difficult.
What does this say?
What?
This slab here.
Yeah, let's see. Here was I, Hotep, presented with a... Well, I guess you'd say invested with the working tools of those who build. In my hand, I, Hotep, took the tools of the second grade of workmen in stone, the plumb, the square, and the...
The level, huh?
How'd you know?
There were masons in those days.
Well, sure. How do you think they built all this stone stuff?
Hey, look at that. What's that there?
It's a name, Sholem, it's probably Solomon. Yeah, this was in Solomon's time.
Right alongside the name.
The middle stone of an arch, which is secret.
The keystone. These fellas didn't know how to build an arch.
Well, that's right, they didn't. Why are you so excited about it, though?
Hey!
What?
Look at that.
This? Yeah, that's a very fine example of wall painting. Look how the colors are still bright. Look how they...
Yeah. You see the same thing I see, don't you?
You know what I saw? You know whose portrait was painted on the edge of the slab that came from a tomb that was old in the time of Augustus Caesar? Coincidence or not, here was the face of the woman who waited for me the night before in Shepherd's Hotel.
All right, I hope you really enjoyed that. We're getting a little bit deeper into the story, so if you heard anything that you want to chit-chat about, perhaps, feel free to stop on over at wcypodcast.com and click the tab at the top for radio drama discussion. Next is this week's paper. Now this week I went with a very short paper. Like I said, I'm trying to conserve some space so that I can put that interview out in its entirety. It's one of those interviews that sounds too good and I just don't want to have to split it up. This week's paper is called The Mason's Skirret. It's by James A. Marple and he's out of Kansas. As Masons, we are familiar with a wide variety of working tools. Yet there is one in particular which is seldom heard of in America but is nonetheless a useful and unique companion to the better known symbolic instruments. It is the skirret. Illustrious Brother Albert G. Mackey, 33rd degree, in his Encyclopedia of Freemasonry defines the term as, quote, "In the English system, the skirret is one of the working tools of a master mason. It is an implement which acts upon a center pin, where a line is drawn, chalked, and struck to mark out the ground for the foundation of the intended structure. Symbolically, it points to us that straight and undividing line of conduct laid down for our pursuits in the volume of the sacred law. What makes the skirret so special is that it is used before the foundation of the building is laid, and therefore the skirret is generally used before the other working tools. The skirret allows a person to see the precise location for the foundation. Consequently, the surrounding ground can easily be designated for other purposes. Initial use of the skirret enables changes to be made to the mark sooner rather than later to change a finished foundation of stone or concrete. As Freemasons, our foundation is our individual character. On that foundation, we build the superstructure of honesty, integrity, loyalty, compassion, and brotherhood. As American Freemasons, let us, like our British brethren, remember to pick up this unique working tool, the skirret, and regularly use it to mark out the foundation of our character. James A. Marples is a member of Sunflower Lodge No. 86, the Scottish Rite, York Rite, and Midian Shrine Temple, all located in Wichita, Kansas. Okay, this week's famous Freemason is Joseph E. Seagram. Born 1841, he passed away on August 18, 1919. He was the founder of Seagram Distillery. Joseph M. Seagram served as a town councilor from 1879 to 1886 and then as Waterloo North's Member of Parliament from 1896 to 1908. As an entrepreneur, racing administrator, community leader, and politician, Seagram revolutionized horse racing and breeding in Canada, winning a remarkable 8 successive Queen's Plates between 1891 and 1898, and 15 before his death in 1919. Now, of course, Brother Joseph E. Seagram is the man behind the spirit, Seagram's. He was senior warden in 1877 for Grand River Lodge number 151, Berlin. All right, that's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. If you enjoy good reading, please check out the Midnight Freemasons at midnightfreemason.blogspot.com for 3 new articles every week. We have a great team of writers who are all writing about their individual, unique Masonic experiences. A lot of effort to bring you great content comes from these individuals. And if you like what you read there, then you have to check out the Working Tools magazine. We are featured monthly in this magazine as well, and it is the largest independent Masonic publication in the United States. There is a tremendous amount of talent at this magazine. I encourage you to check it out. You can visit twtmag.com for details on subscriptions. It's available through the newsstand on Apple. It's its own standalone application, or you can get it via PDF or in print. Whatever you like, you can get it. Brother Corey Sigler was very good in his design of the magazine for the reader to be able to get it any way they want to consume it. You can also follow them on Twitter at twtmag. Speaking of people that you should follow on Twitter, obviously the Midnight Mason. But how about Far From Centered, which is our friend and brother Robert P. Lewis, author of Love Me When I'm Gone, and also brother Juan Sepulveda of the Winding Stairs podcast. And you can follow him at Winding Stairs 33. Check out our Masonic businesses for great products by Masons. Talk to you all next week. Friends and brothers, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.